Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and distribution systems, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, the many customization options ensure that your space is tailored to your unique needs. Hey, we use them here at Walk and Talk. Say goodbye to chaos and hello to order with Metro Shelving. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency. Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. First things first, last week we had World Food Championships host and MC Mark Conway on the program. Well, food sport is gaining big momentum around the world. If you missed it, go back and learn more about where competitive sports cooking is headed. So last night, Walk and Talk Media served up a five-course dinner at Cahaba Club Herbal Outpost in Keystone, Florida. It was an intimate 12-person event for 10-acre marketing in conjunction with the Produce Industry Podcast with our boy, the Patrick Kelly. Chef Jeffrey turned up the skill set and delivered a creative and delicious menu. Dish descriptions are coming up next. Thank you, Peninsula Food Service, for supplying the proteins for today's production. Chefs in the Central Florida area, Peninsula is the largest distributor of Creekstone Farms beef in the Southeast USA. Complete with a fully staffed butcher shop to help you solve your kitchen inconsistencies. Check out their dry age program. You know what? I love that. I love that dry age. All right. Nice ribeye. Our guest this week is businessman that just happens to be a sports legend. Yeah. Stay tuned for Closet Chef, Bo Jackson. Jeff, I think that's an...
Yeah.
That was awesome. Jeff, pop the clutch, man. Get into pre-shift. We'll get in, we're going to get Bo on here in a minute. Let's talk about that awesome food you did yesterday.
Well, first of all, thank you so much. I appreciate that. When I heard we're going to be doing a course or a tasting for Bo, I was like, what's his likes, dislikes? And you were like, collard greens and cornbread. And he's got a great story about cornbread. That's the first thing he did when he walked in yesterday. He sat down 20 minutes. Somebody said, what was the best part of the entire night? That bar none was probably my favorite part of the entire night, having Bo tell that story, which I know he'll tell later on. But I had a call out because I was trying to get caviar for the one dish that we're doing, ceviche, and somebody came through for us in a huge bind and had some smoked fish dip from him. And I was like, oh, I don't want to serve this for crackers and like the normal sports bar stuff. And I thought back, you know, pani puri, which is puri is water, pani is the fry. And I was like, this is going to be a great vessel to have like another step up. So we did that bite as the first one. The second, we did a study of smoke in the ceviche. It was a kind of a riff on the Peruvian. And we did a hickory smoke on the fish. We did a apple smoke on the coconut milk. And then the caviar, we actually smoked with pecan. And then we had some concha corn that was actually smoked with cherry wood.
Yeah, but that dish, that particular dish was just, it really had layers and was overloaded with flavor profiles.
Awesome.
Yeah, not in a way where you're like, oh, right, man, what's this guy doing? Right. It kind of all just hit the palate the right way from start to the finish.
Good, cool.
You know, I'm always trying to find ways to like
bump me down.
I really am.
We'll get to the comment you made a little bit later. The next course after that was the foghorn leghorn. We did a mole rubbed hickory smoked chicken. We did chicken liver on the side with some pistachios, and there's some bacon is in there as well. And then for a different twist, I actually did a samosa cake, potato cake, and we had all the fixings inside that. Served it with the aji verde. And the next course after that was the edible salad with the dirt that's edible. And instead of having a plastic container as the vessel, we went with red bliss potatoes and kind of cored them out and roasted them off for a little more flavor. And then had the little orange or tangerine honey puppet that they kind of watered their garden. And then that's what they were eating. And then after that was the main course, which was the brisket, collard greens, collard green fritters, red cornflour bread, cornbread. We had a potato plank, black garlic aioli on there as well. And I think I might be forgetting. Oh, but they had the Meemaw sassy sauce on that. But I heard yours was like, I don't know how cornbread can be as good as brisket. That's what I remember you saying.
And that was, what, A12? Did you say? All right. So, and just to kind of like paint the picture, first of all, the cornbread was done in a mold. Right. So it looked like corn.
It was corny.
It was incredibly corny. It matches your style.
Thank you.
But the fact is you didn't recognize it until you dug into it. Right. And then when you got into the marmalade and you're just thinking, wow, this is just fantastic. And then you're like, wait a minute. Why am I worried about cornbread? I've got A12 brisket on the plate. So you dive into that and you're like, oh my God, that's fantastic. Wait a minute. I think I'd rather eat the cornbread.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That you freaked me out. I have to actually go back now and rethink some stuff. I got to go back and question myself. All right. Great job.
Thank you. And the last course was, when you're doing something on a farm, you would have some cobbler and did a smoked blueberry rendition, had some blueberry glass, dehydrated blueberries. Some pecans were in there as well. And then we did a thyme limoncello ice cream.
Yeah.
On the side.
Which was also, that limoncello was fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. So if I'm going to pick something, I have to pick something that not my favorite, but it wasn't bad. It was the dirt cake, dirt dessert.
I'm okay with it.
And then not because it didn't taste good. It's because, it was the texture.
Gotcha.
Texture, not flavor, texture. I had a hard time wrapping my brain around it.
well, you call it dirt. It's harder.
Yeah. But, and I had a really, only because I needed to set you back a notch is why I said that. Yeah. It was really fantastic. Well, listen,
the only person I really care about is the closet chef that his review will be.
Well, true story there.
We can tell what kind of review I'm going to get from you.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
All right. Yeah. Just because I'm 30 pounds up means nothing.
You're the happiest 30 pounds you've ever had.
All smiles. It's pounds by smiles. And audience, folks, yeah, I'm happy. All right. Look, again, kudos to you, man. You did a fantastic job. By the way, coming up soon, Orlando. That's going to be our next Farmers Craveable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're dropping that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I've already got confirmation.
Oh, cool.
That they're all in. So we're going to put it together. We're going to figure out the date and, sponsors and vendor partners who want to be involved with it.
We got to tell the girls and Vicky, both Vicky and Amy, that it's, they're on deck.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are absolutely on deck. Right. And not only that, we need to reach out to some of our prior sponsors as well and get them involved in this.
Anybody that wants to be new and get involved in helping out local farms, this would be your time and opportunity. Definitely. That's what it's all about.
Correct. All right. So look, without further ado, I think you had your,
This is not mine.
Get out of here. Come here, kid. No, get out of here. All right. So, Bo Jackson, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Seriously, pleasure is ours. And I just want to jump into something real quick. Okay. The reality is you said some things last night and you went deeper on some stuff that I wasn't expecting you to. And I was just sitting there, we didn't get a chance to talk too much last night, but I was observing and listening.
I'm a deep person.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I remember, I'm maybe 10, 11 years younger than you. Right. So I vividly remember you and I know that you're a passionate man and you've always carried yourself in a passionate way. What is it about cooking at home that brings that out of you, that happiness? What is it that kind of gets you into this culinary world?
Cooking at home for me is when I do it, which is almost every day I'm home, I'm doing it for somebody that shows me unconditional love. And that's all it takes. My wife and I have been together for almost 40 years, been married for 38, 30, yeah, we, no, 37, almost 37 years. And in 37 years, and I say this, and she'll more than happily say, she hasn't had to cook 20 times in 30-something years.
That's pretty impressive.
I do all the cooking at the house. I don't allow her around sharp objects.
Smart.
See,
smart
I'm man. An outdoor person, so my knife's got to be extra sharp. And I don't allow her around. She had to go to hospital once. So I banned her from the sharp.
I can appreciate that. One of the things I heard yesterday, and I'm going to say this in the question form, is, you know, so how did your mother have a significant influence on your culinary path?
Wow, I'm the eighth of 10 kids, and we were raised in a very low-income neighborhood. And my mom worked two jobs, five boys, five girls. And there were times when the only thing we would have for dinner is cornbread. And before I was old enough to go to school, I'd have to watch my mom make that cornbread every day in that 14-pound cast iron skillet, which I own now. And I would watch her. She would make hot water cornbread one day. She'd make buttermilk cornbread one day. And it's back and forth. It's just, and I would sit and watch her. I watch her put that cornmeal in that bowl, two eggs, just a pinch of salt. Do this, put a couple of tablespoons of oil, get that cast iron skillet hot. Put about two or three tablespoons of oil in that skillet to get it hot. Once she beat up her batter, put it in that skillet, put it in the oven at 400 degrees, and let it go. And I had to watch her do that, because I was at that age to where if you didn't keep an eye on me, I'd burn down the house or do something drastic. So I got this little red rocking chair for Christmas. Back in the day, everybody got that little oak, little red rocking chair. She would sit it in the middle of the floor, and she put me in, and she said, "Don't you move." And watching my mom give my older brother spanking, I didn't move. I either watched her, or I became an expert on the soap operas, General Hospital, One Life to Live.
Right.
And if it wasn't Dr. Hardy and Jesse on the soap operas, it was my mom and the buttermilk cornbread. And one day my sisters came home from school and they wanted to hang out with their friends. And my sister gave me a quarter, a whole quarter. I was 5, 6 years old to cook cornbread. And I made that cornbread up in 15, 20 minutes, left it, and went to the store. The rest is history.
So you got your rocking chair.
Rocking chair.
I grew up in a situation where I was forced to watch Luke and Laura on General Hospital.
When they were teenagers.
Yeah.
When they were dating. Yeah. Yes.
So, and this, yeah, it's...
I just love the banter now.
Well,
we sit there talking about soap operas.
I know.
I love it.
Yeah, which, you know, I don't know that I would ever, I don't know how that just came out of my mouth.
By the way, it did.
I was living with my Auntie Lane and my Uncle Anthony, and, you know, I was with her. I was, you know, 5 years old, whatever, and that's what was on, and I had to do the same thing. Like, you sit your butt down and
don't move.
And this is what you have. So I totally get that. Oh my God, I'm going to get ribbed on this online so bad. Wow. Thanks, Bo.
You're welcome.
All right. So
what do you mean online?
It's going to happen today. Off. Today. Oh my
it's
God.
It's going to happen on the yacht. Hey, remember?
Oh Lord. It's going to happen just like that. All right. So you have your rocking chair. You're seeing your mom. You're catching all this stuff, right? You're getting older. What's your favorite dish? What are you making? I know you said cornbread, but like, is that your favorite dish?
No, anything that I want to cook. Never taken a cooking class. Actually, during these times, and I don't watch too much sports on TV, but my wife and my daughter, my kids, they'll watch football, basketball, baseball, whatever. And I'll go to the man cave where all my bows and arrows and sharp objects are, gunpowder and everything laying around. And I turn my TV on and I watch a cooking show. I'm in my basement watching either Bobby Flay, you name it. I'm not honored, but I hate to say it, is that back in the day, I turned down two invitations by Martha Stewart to come and talk on her show.
Oh, man.
But I was busy at the time, and I was doing a lot of other things and so forth and so on. But I'm just like I said, I consider myself a closet chef. Whatever I want to cook, if I don't know how, you just go online. Hmm. Find out how to cook it. Then I let my family be the
judge.
Be the guinea pigs.
Right.
First. Yep. I give them, let they be the guinea pig. And if it's good, then I'm in.
And I don't know. Are they throwing rotten tomatoes at you or anything like that? I presume you're doing a good job.
I have never had that done to me before. But I love, just as much as I love playing sports, it's something that I do now to keep my sanity, to get away from being Bo Jackson, the celebrity.
Right.
Bo Jackson, the athlete. Get in the kitchen and cook.
You brought it up. Man cave, by the way, your man cave sounds kind of like my man cave, right? Mm-hmm. Same sort of stuff.
Yes.
So you're a hunter. I know you're a cyclist as well. Mm-hmm. How, okay. So because of your background, you know, athletics and, you know, just the nature of it all and what you're doing today, what sort of restrictions, like, are there dietary restrictions that, you know, we're close on the same age. Are there things you just stay away from? Or something that's going to help you with your performance? Like what's your,
well, you have to remember back when I played sports 30 some odd years ago, we didn't have all these healthy items that these kids got now. So we just ate whatever we wanted. But doing what I did, I burned from anywhere from 5,000 to 15,000 calories per day.
How many calories were you? What was your intake?
Nobody kept track of that back
nobody
then.
Nobody cared, right?
You ate whatever you want to eat. But the strange thing about it is that I would never eat before a game. We'd have pregame meals, college and the pro, steak, potatoes, pancakes. I wouldn't eat. Before the game, I take a nap. And my teammates say, don't mess with him. Let him sleep. Because we want to awake that bear when he gets out on the field. Let him sleep. Yeah, but I never ate.
For my little stint with, you know, playing football, whatever, I remember the coach always said, because, you know, with me, you get your pads, you lay down, you know, pregame, like, you know, before warmups and all that. And, you know, there was always the kids that were just fooling around. But then there was the dudes that were just focused, quiet, eyes closed, you know, just like, you know, laying on the shoulder pads or whatever.
I was that dude.
Right.
And I was asleep.
And I appreciate that because it's serious.
Well, the thing with me is that I never wanted to disappoint my coaches, never wanted to let the fans down in the stands. And I'm going to give my teammates 100%. So, and it's funny because my teammate with the Raiders, Howie Long, all pro defensive tackle, probably one of the best teammates I've had. People would see me on the floor. Now, this is after we've gone out for warmups and come back in before the game started. Take my shoulder pads off, put them on the floor, get my helmet, get on the floor, get in the corner, lay down and go to sleep. Howie would let it be known, you don't wake that MF up until we're about to walk out on the field. Seriously. And as people are walking by, somebody would come by and kick me. It's time to go. I get up, put my pads on, and as we're going out the tunnel, I'm strapping my pads, get on the field, tuck my shirt in, and go to work.
So the dude that gave you the kick, he was probably from a distance too, right?
It was usually my fullback, Steve Smith, who is no longer with us, God bless his soul, or Howie, Marcus, those guys, Greg Townsend, So all these guys that would wake me up, they were just as important as I was, but they would just let him sleep.
You know, my father, I used to have to wake him up the same way. I'm just saying. And I would usually do it like from here. Because there's usually going to be a shot coming. All right. So listen, I want to take it back to food a little bit. You had a tough game, right?
Yes.
What are you doing for food after that?
Whatever my family wanted to eat.
You're a family man, right? I mean, that's you seem like very family focused.
But I would leave the ball game with my family. We go to a seafood restaurant in Marina Del Rey. We'll go to steakhouse in Playa Del Rey. Or we'll go home and have something catered in. And it didn't matter whatever it was. But as I got older, my eating habits changed because I wasn't as active and put on a few pounds here and there. Then you wake up one morning, and say, where the hell did that come from? Where did that roll come from? Right. And so forth and so on. So the way I did it, and also with my hip injury, I stopped running. But to make up for that, I got into cycling. So I ride a lot. Don't lift weights. Never lifted weights. Period. Hate it. That's for weightlifters. Don't have anything against it, but it's not for me.
So, I mean, you were fast. I mean, I bet you're still fast. You still
a little bit.
A little bit, right? Right. I mean, my best was a 4.9 barely, right? And I can't, you know, like I don't pretend like I'm.
You can't even go up a stair right now.
No, today we were talking off air before. I'm like, yes. You know, my hands, you know, I got the sciatica. I feel like I'm 140 years old. Well, you know what I mean?
You say that, and it's true, because I wake up some mornings and I'm like, what the hell did I do yesterday? The reason I'm so sore. I pulled the garbage cans out to the street. And it's like, why am I so sore? Then when I go to these shows, people always say, man, Bo, you still look good. You look like you can go play a game right now. And I look at him, I'm like, look, man, I pulled a muscle lifting a toilet seat last week. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, you know where that comes from, I think, too. We're living in this age, like, you know, a year or so ago when you saw Mike Tyson, you know, get in with Roy Jones, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw him a couple of years before that. I mean, he wasn't looking good. Yeah. But then he comes back. The guy looks like Adonis. You know what I mean? And I feel like people, you know, and if anybody has a recollection of like George Foreman and what he did, you know, coming back and, you know, winning. I think people just, you know, they have that memory. They think that
it's supposed to be that way.
It's supposed to be that way, but it's not. I think it's the most unnatural thing, you know, out there.
One of my best things right now, the best thing in my life right now, going right now, is being a grandpa. Two grandsons. Look forward to seeing them. My grandson ran his favorite dish on the planet. I can either take. I either make him grits, cheese grits, and cut up a half a slice of bologna, chop it up, heat it in the skillet, mix it in with his grits. That's his favorite dish. So for breakfast, I'll get up, make him cheese grits, cut him up a piece of bologna, put it in the skillet, sit there, and I'll feed him. And I'll make it seems like I'm going to eat his food because he's 2.5 years old, and he put his hand, no, papa, no, that's mine.
Am I guessing that's your mom's skillet?
One of them.
Yeah, because I love that because I have some of my dad's stuff too, and I do similar things. I, you know, with my kids, and I absolutely love that.
I got people say, "Oh, you need to get these skillets," but I don't need no newfangled skillets. I say my skillets got history.
Right.
They're all cast iron. I don't have none of these. I don't know what they call them, but no.
Teflon or nonstick pans. Hexcon is the latest one out there now.
Yeah. I take my cast iron, wash it with just plain water, season it up, put it in the cabinet.
Yeah, that's definite ancestry and history on that skillet. And I bet you that thing gets pulled out. You can fry in it,
but you can fry, you can bake, you can do whatever you want with that cast iron that you can do on a grill.
Oh, yeah. Open flame.
Yeah.
Open flame. So,
yes. I
But you hear what he's talking about. He's creating memories. Mm-hmm. And food is that central thing that we always talk about. Food brings people together. You can have differences of opinion, but you sit down and you break bread in front of somebody and the passion that he has. You are no longer a closet chef. You are a chef.
I'm out of the closet.
Yeah, you're completely out of the closet.
You heard it here first.
But when you have somebody come up on and say, I've been doing this. I've watched my mother, and you hear every story, and we all have great stories, but every great chef that's worth their weight, they have that passion, and you can't teach that passion.
No.
And a lot of people don't realize that. And the respect I had for you because you and I worked together prior a couple of years ago, but the respect I had for you when you walked into the kitchen yesterday and sat down on the couch and told me the story about the buttermilk. And I looked there and I'm like, this some bitch is a damn chef. You are a chef. That story in itself is what makes great chefs. So congrats.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's that's just part of me. I don't get home until tomorrow night. My wife had a medical procedure the other day. I'll get home Friday night before I go to bed. Sweetie, what do you want for breakfast tomorrow? Pancakes? Cheese grits? Turkey sausage? Let me know.
Yes, please.
Because myself, I'll have the cheese grits with her, but I got moose sausage.
Oh.
From a moose I harvested.
Oh.
So I love my wild
Stop
game.
Stop it. Stop it.
Swear to God.
Where'd you catch the moose?
Utah. And they were with my black powder. I got about 300 pounds of moose in three or four freezers at home.
Experience the perfect blend of culinary delights, entertainment, and education on the number one food podcast in the country, Walk and Talk Podcast. Join host Carl Fiadini and the amazing chef Jeffrey Schlissel. Feed your appetite. Find this podcast on Apple and Spotify.
So,
I don't know.
Why didn't we have that last night?
Seriously. My goodness.
That would have been fantastic.
Stop it. All right. You know what? Stop, because I'm going to get off track here. You're pulling me into a different place, Bo, and I don't like it. Huh?
Sucking me in
here. So, but this is actually a great segue, because the reality is you transformed your love for cooking into a business, right? Yes. Like you're feeding people. And this is something you do. How is that fulfilling to you?
Wow. It's always, how they say, once you pull yourself up from the pits, reach back and help somebody else climb that same ladder. And not saying that's what I'm doing, but I'm helping people with the knowledge that I've acquired over the years about my food and the things that I've done. One of my first businesses, and in the food business, during Desert Storm, my company was one of the companies to help feed the troops in the Middle East. And I went over there and spent three Super Bowls with them for 3 years straight and stayed a week. And because the Super Bowl aired in Kuwait at 2:30 in the morning. Live, when it was 5 something here, it's 2:30 in the morning there. Watch the game with the troops. When the game's over, that was my week. That was after about 7 days there. Left there, went to the airport, come home. But one of my biggest thrills was help feeding the troops during trying times.
And that's admirable.
Yes.
Are you? Is there something that you're doing today as well, or is there something that we can actually put together? I'd love to.
Use the platform
to do things in that nature.
Well, that company I'm no longer with. I parted ways with it, and I started my own company, Jackson and Partners, and we are doing very, very well. Not as big as the old company used to be. We have a few products here. We have a line of beef burgers, plant-based shreds, and so forth and so on. But as far as everything going right now, everything is good. And it goes back to, like I said earlier, giving back. I give back, and that's one of my little secrets too, because I like to do it to where nobody knows about it. Because,
and I didn't see any. By the way, I look you up. I mean, I know a lot about you because I grew up watching you, but I had a, you know, you got to remind yourself, and you want to have some data and all that, right? Mm-hmm. And it was hard for me to find the stuff that you're talking about is nowhere.
That's done on purpose.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing it for the publicity. I'm not doing it for the notoriety. The world knows enough about Bo Jackson, the athlete, and so forth and so on. The world, if they find out about it somewhere down the road, that's fine. But I'm not walking around with a cell phone filming myself giving something to a needy person or this or that. My mom taught us, hey, treat people like you want to be treated. The world will keep rotating. And the day that you think that you're better than the person standing beside you is going to be the day that your downfall is going to start. That house of cards are going to start tumbling for you and so forth and so on. So I'm all over the country doing things for people that I don't know, something I saw in the news that just struck a chord in me. And I go, middle of COVID, get on a plane, go see a kid. Stuff in Texas, went on a plane, went and saw the people there. But it's just weekly things that I do. And I always tell people, because everybody wants to know, can we post this on our social media page? Do you want the media there? No. Now, once I'm done and I'm gone, you can do whatever you want. You can tell whoever you want, so forth and so on. At 99% of the people respect my privacy because they know I'm not doing it for that. Because if I were, then they'd have every news station in the county and in the state there. And I don't do it for that because...
Well, you need to keep your circle has to be...
It's small.
Small.
It's small.
Right? You know, obviously it's, you know, you're here, we're with you, right? Anybody who's in a position of notoriety that's out there, it's, you know, you have people have to understand how many times in a day you're walking somewhere, in the airport, a restaurant, in a mall, whatever, wherever you're going, how often you're going to get inundated by folks, you know, and you have to give yourself to that. You know, you know, obviously there are personalities that don't, but by and large, you give a lot. And then you get the one person that comes up and you had the bad day. You've already done all your, and then
they really don't know that.
Correct.
They think, well, he's at the gas pump. I'm going to go ask him, hey, can I take a selfie with you?
Right.
And not knowing that I've been through that or just left a sports memorabilia show.
Right.
And having to deal with hundreds and hundreds of people. And then I'm on my way home to probably cook and I'm late. Right. And I'm trying to get gas to put in the car. Mm-hmm. Somebody wants to take a selfie. And then when I turn them down, I'm the butthole. I'm the butthole. So right. They go online and post. Saw so-and-so at the service station asking for a picture. No, you don't know what I've done all day.
Yeah, it's an unfair happening.
Yes, it's unfair, but it comes with the territory. It comes with the territory. And I say this in all honesty. I don't wish my popularity or fame on anyone. Because in my world, I feel like I'm a prisoner in my own world. My fan base, like, let's say when this show is over, hey, let's go out, run down the street to the sports bar and hang out. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I wish I could, but as soon as somebody, and not that I'm bragging, but as soon as I'm recognized, then I'm back to being the celebrity football player, the basketball player, when I just want to be normal like you guys.
And the energy that it takes to be that.
To explain.
It, people don't understand that.
It's the energy that you have to have for yourself to be on the Bo Jackson. And then you just want to be, hey, I just want to chill.
Yeah.
I want to relax.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and we just, again, we kind of got off got off track a little bit, but I feel like those are, I feel like those are things that aren't talked about enough, you know, especially in today's environment with social media where it's instant. Everything is, it's here, it's out. You know, it's just not a fair, it's not a fair thing. I'm glad, actually glad we hit on that, you know?
Yes. But like I said, that's just a day in my life.
Attention chefs and food buyers. Are you looking to improve your proteins program with quality and service by the best in the beef business? Reach out to Peninsula Food Service. With 25 butchers on staff, their services will dazzle you and impress your dining guests. Peninsula is the largest Creekstone farm distributor in the Southeast United States. Let the gang at Peninsula Food Service cut your beef burdens away and ask about their dry-aged program. Look them up at peninsulafood.com.
But at the end of the day, you're still human, and people need to realize that.
Absolutely.
No matter who you are and the name you carry, you still have your like you said, you don't know what I'm going through in that day. I could have a really poop day, and I just found some news out I didn't want to know, and I got to deal with that. So people don't have, they have to realize that, that you're not who you are. You're human at the end of the day. So yeah. That's what I'm going to say on that.
Yeah. You know, right. Human now. You know, not human, you know, 30 years ago on a field. You know what I mean?
Well, he was a beast.
I'm just saying. All right. I promised myself I wasn't going to geek out or any of that. And I'm not. Right. And you're not going to make me. So stop it.
Okay. Yesterday you did.
No.
Yeah. But you walked out. He was like, oh my.
I didn't.
Continue.
I didn't. Oh. And because you know why? I went in with a strong face. That's why. I'm just saying.
He has a crappy poker face.
It's horrible, isn't it?
He trips on third base and going to home.
Yep.
Damn it. All right. So, let's shift gears a little bit. You recently came out with a new product, right?
Yes, I did.
And it's a Bow 3.0. I love it. Can you talk a little bit about it?
Bow 3.0, it originated in the middle of COVID. And it's a powdered drink. It's a powdered sports drink. Dehydration drink. And one thing about it is that I don't associate my name or my brand with anything that I don't believe in. And that's just it. I bet I've turned down, for everything I got my name on, I bet I've turned down 50 other things just because it's not for me. From watches to underwear to food products to vitamins, you name it. But in the middle of COVID, but my business partners and I decided, hey, let's look at this food drink thing, because we were, I'm not going to say tired, but exhausted with all the other things that are out on the market that claims that they have this in it and that in it and this in it and so forth and so on. So we said, let's see what we can do. So we partnered with a wonderful company out of Beloit, Wisconsin, called Carry. Carry is an ingredient company that is just a building full of scientists. But I just call them a building full of geeks, because we got there in the middle of COVID, sat down, and we came up with this formula for Bow 3.0. And the reason we call it Bow 3.0, because I did the football thing, I did the baseball thing. Let's try to see if we could do a third thing and come up with Bow 3.0. And we came up with these powdered drinks that are just outstanding. And the thing about it is that if I don't like it, my name don't go on it. Period. I don't care how much money you got, how much you try to influence me, it just doesn't work. And we sat and went around the table when the country was shut down. And I could drive there. It's only an hour from my house. So we're in an 800,000 square foot building, and there's only four people in the entire building. And we're downstairs. And I'm fussing with the food scientists and those guys. Nope, it's not good enough. And what we did, we came up with a product that have, and I don't know if you've heard of these names, but called an ingredient called Capros. And Capros is for your cardiovascular system. It helps with the cardiovascular system. We came up with another ingredient called IUFlex. IUFlex is good for joint mobility. That's what you need.
Yes.
You need the joint mobility back.
He's not lying.
Because I heard your joints cracking yesterday and last night.
And added weight.
We have vitamin C and we have vitamin C and zinc for the immunity. These things are combined with plant-based products, caffeine-free, low sodium, no sugar, and we come up with this product that it's easily dissolved in water, and it stays with you. Even though I'm not playing baseball and football right now, I'm still busy. I'm traveling all over the country. And when I'm not traveling, I'm either hunting, fishing, or cycling, or chasing my grandson around. And that takes up a lot of energy, which as far as being hydrated, I could go when I was younger and not have a hydration drink in a month. But now with all the nutrition, with all the nutritional values within my drink that I know it's healthy, I drink one or two of these per day. And they're great. But the thing about it is that I got friends asking me for my product and I run out. So, and I'm looking at it, I can look at it as a bad thing that people are asking me for my product and I don't got anything on it, or a good thing that they like it to the point to where go out and order it. It's right there online.
Yeah, I just want to be clear. Those were my samples that I brought from home. All right, so you're not leaving with those.
So you
just
mean saying. They sent you all of these?
Oh, yes, they did.
Those could be on the store shelves.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right? Yeah. See, he thinks like a chef. Right there. That's my ROI.
Yes.
I got you, man.
I got to talk to the people in the warehouse.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
See, this, you got somebody in trouble.
Does everybody see what I got to go through? This is my life. All right. Lastly, in terms of the interview segment, what can you offer as tips, as a tip or advice for aspiring athletes? And that's regarding like nutrition and, you know, in what direction they should be going to fuel their body.
I'll tell you like this. It's simple. Look at your body like you're looking at all these expensive sports cars that you're trying to buy and got dreams of buying. Would you put water in the gas tank of your sports car? Hell no. You got to put in your body the same thing you put in your car that's going to make it perform to the highest of its ability. And you got to do the same thing with your body. I'm not telling you to go out and use my product, but in order for you to be competitive on the field, you got to have something that's going to allow you to do that. And I know from just history, if I had had this when I played, hell, who knows what I could have done. When I go to bench and drink water and get oxygen, that's all we had.
Right.
So you're saying I should stay away from pork bellies, right? Like, that's it.
You said, you said athletes. That's what you asked. You didn't say 50-year-old men.
Listen.
Okay.
You all should right. have asked the question, what should I do to get healthier?
All right. Forget everybody out there. Bo, it's right. you and me here. It's you
all
and
right.
me here.
Gotcha, all right. Gotcha. All right. Kidding, what should you do? First of all, you should share that pork belly with me.
Right. Right. All right.
Then we can have a Bo 3.0.
Okay.
Or right. wash it down with a Bo 3.0.
There you go.
So, okay, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking you get in the woods, right? You get all gussied up in your gear. You get in the woods, right? Lunchtime comes at some point. You eat your pork belly. You know, nice Sammy. Good Sammy. Then comes the rehydration with the Bo 3.0. Right?
I tell you what, I've right? done it sitting in the deer stand. I've done it pheasant hunting. Reach in my pack, get my bottle of water. That I've already mixed it in before I left the lodge. Because I'm walking 4 or 5 miles, carry my shotgun, chasing birds. I did it just last week.
Yeah.
So this isn't just for athletes. This is for anybody that lives an active life.
Oh, yeah. You mean like somebody who's in a really hot kitchen?
Absolutely.
That's 120 degrees instead of drinking the other stuff. Standing up. Yeah, that would be a great thing for chefs to do for their teams, right? This would be a great thing.
100%, chef.
Especially because they're not going to be throwing 5 pounds of sugar in it.
Well, so
because it doesn't need it. This is actually really good flavor.
There's no sugar.
Well, I wanted to bring that up. So the flavor. So everyone out there listening, it's got flavor, but it's not like you're so the sports drinks, I hate them because it's drinking sugar water.
Mm-hmm.
Can't stand it. This is 0% of that.
Zero sugar.
It's well,
caffeine free.
Yep.
Gluten free, plant based, and it's got all the nutrients that you need: vitamin C, zinc, IUFlex, Capros. All of, if you don't know what those things are, because I didn't know what they were until I went up to Carrie and we sat down and talked about this. But like I said, Carrie, great for my company, because without them, there wouldn't be a Bo 3.0.
Well, I'm telling you, the flavor profile now, yes. The blackberry, blueberry.
Yes.
And kids would love this.
And for the listeners out there, if they want to try it, please go to www.bo3po.com. Find it, try it, and let me know what you think.
We're going to put that in the description as well.
Please do.
I'm actually going to make sure my niece gets this. She plays softball, and then we did like a 3.5 hour thing of a competition I did the other day, and it's like 3 hours. So this would be perfect for them.
I think so. And you know what was perfect? This episode. I'm just saying. As it turns out, he's funny as well.
Third right? base,
yeah.
Tripping.
Third. Yeah, oh, man. Oh, God. Okay. Hey. Yep. All right.
I don't know too many white guys that can hit an inside the park home run. And he almost hit one today. He tripped one out.
Oh, man. All right.
I love it.
Bo Jackson, you're awesome, man. my goodness. You know, and I thought I was going to like Don Mattingly, but now it's Bo Jackson. Gentlemen, Evan in the background doing the filming. You're also a badass. We are out.
Thank you.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple: develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.